This is the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with head coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Marshland Credit Union, Lou Sobke of Brunswick, and by Cunningham Jewelers. And now, here is your host, Aaron Beck.
Welcome to the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with head coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Aaron Beck. The Herons Coaches Show is sponsored by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, Cunningham Jewelers, Marshland Credit Union, and by Lo Saab Kia of Brunswick. And now joining us is the head coach of Brantley County Herons, David Shores.
Hey Aaron, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, coach. Had a pretty good week so far. Can't complain about anything.
Good stuff. Glad to be here.
Oh yeah. We'll go ahead and get started with the first question, Coach. One thing I wanted to look back at last Friday. Last Friday was quite possibly, at least in my opinion, my young story career, very, very heavy rain pretty much the entire night. You've had a long history of coaches. I know you've coached a ton of different games at this point. Yeah. Where would you rank Friday night's weather compared to all the other weather games that you've had?
Well, I'll tell you, yeah, this is 25th year for me and been a part of a lot of weather games, like you said. I would say the second half, probably, you know, three quarters of the third quarter and most of the fourth quarter was as heavy a monsoon-type downpour, torrential downpour as I've ever been a part of. Maybe one other time over in Alabama years and years ago, we had another rain game about like that, but it was heavy and thick of rain in the second half there as I've been a part of in a game. You know, you get up there and you don't make excuses, but you know, your 2-hour bus ride up there, you've got the itinerary laid out of how you want to do pregame and all that kind of thing. And you end up sitting in the locker room for 2 hours under, lightning delays. You can't get out and warm up. You finally get out a little after 8 o'clock and get to warm up quickly, kick off, play most of the first half, get up 6-0. Then you know, another lightning delay. You got to go back in for 30 minutes, come back out and play the rest of the night. But, you know, then the rain hits heavy. You know, our kids ate pregame milk 3 o'clock to get on the road. You know, by the time 8 o'clock rolls around, we hadn't had any snacks or anything. We were debating bringing something back to them to eat. We just didn't know how long the delay was going to be. But that's something we may have dropped the ball on, not having something there prepared for them. But, you know, it's hard to predict the weather, you know, and that's we end up in a situation where we probably weren't in our tip-top shape going out there to play that game because of the delays. But, you know, we still feel like I felt like, you know, we should have probably come away with a win regardless of all the circumstances. But, you know, I'm not a kid and I'm not in their shoes.
That's
so,
right.
You know, you got to take all that stuff into account.
That's right. Especially as someone who teaches in the classroom constantly, it's hard enough to keep their attention for an hour and a half in the classroom.
Yeah.
Much less when they know they're supposed to be playing a game and,
yep,
and getting to enjoy the sport that they love playing. So I did also want to take a chance to shout out that was a 2-hour trip with a ton of rain, and we still had fans in the stands at the end of the game. So
yeah, very impressive. You know, we had a decent little following up there. I know some people plan on coming and actually made the drive and turned around and left because they didn't know what was going to happen, if we'd ever get to play the game or not. But, you know, there was a some folks in the stands, some loyal Heron followers, and they sat out there for the whole night of the game. And shout out to those folks. Really appreciate their presence there.
Yep. Just a reminder, this is the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with head coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Speaking of which, giving the fans a good show, what players do you think stood out in terms of player of the week? We'll start with offense, coach.
Sure. Yeah. You know, we struggled on offense, but, you know, we had a big opening drive. You know, Malachi scored an 80-yard touchdown. He also had a long run the first game of the year. But Caden Hendricks was sort of our workhorse Friday night. He ended up having 115-yard rushing, you know, for a quarterback. That's pretty nice.
Mm-hmm.
Probably could have got a little bit more here and there. You know, he sort of carried offense on Friday night. Special teams-wise, again, Caden Hendricks stepped in. Mason Kicklighter was out, our starting punter, so Caden stepped in that role, and including one short ball that ended up deflecting off one of our shield guys for a really short punt. Including that one, he averaged 42 yards a punt, so he really
was doing
a great job kicking the ball for us Friday night. So may have found a new role for him going forward. defensively, you know, Talon Collins came away with a pick. We're in cover three, and you know, the things that hurt us Friday night defensively were just throwing the ball up, deep balls. They had an athletic quarterback running around, scrambling around, trying to find sort of backyard ball, finding somebody open. But he did throw up some balls. We had people in position. We just didn't come down with it, and they did. So, you know, I thought we played a decent defensive game minus, a handful of plays, and that's usually how it goes. But Talon, late in the game, came up with a nice interception. We were in cover three, and he high-pointed the ball beautifully. Another one of those young guys sort of adding to the mix this year, stepping up as a starter.
That sort of reminds me back when Malachi Starks was a freshman at Georgia and hopping on that boy ball against Oregon.
Yeah.
So with that, Coach, we'll go ahead and turn the corner a little bit. This week, JV game start. Yep. I'm a big person on JV. I think JV is super important, especially to the success of the program. So with that being said, Coach, how important do you think JV games are to the success of your program?
I try to play as many JV games as possible. I actually scheduled 8 this year, which is illegal. Yeah. You know, you can't have more than 7. I scheduled 8. I was trying to get as many as I could. I realized I'd made a mistake and had to end up go back and canceling that game with Appling. But luckily, Charlton this year, this next week, canceled their game with us. So they're running low on guys, had some injuries, and Appling called back. They had Bacon backed out on them, so we're going to get together with Appling next week. We've got Jeff Davis at home today. We're fired up about it. You got to play JV games. Mm-hmm. You know, younger kids get out there and work and practice, and it's a developmental league. If they're not getting out there and playing live reps and live bullets, they're not going to be ready for Friday nights when it comes their turn. So, unfortunately, the year before I got here, I think they only played 2 or 3 mm-hmm. JV games, canceled a lot of them. So, you know, when we got into the season last year, I look out there and we had 3 starters that had ever played a full season of varsity football. Mm-hmm. But then everybody else that were having to start hadn't even played more than 2 games of JV ball. So
right.
Very, very inexperienced bunch of kids. Luckily, last year we got 6 JV games in. We had to cancel 1 and because of weather. But overall, you know, it's one of the most important factors in developing a program is playing those young kids, and JV is where it's at. So we're looking forward to a JV season and trying to get as many games in as we can out of these 7.
I got you. Yeah, there's always a big difference to me between game speed and practice speed.
Absolutely.
You can look great in practice, but sometimes when you get those eyeballs on you, some people can play a little bit different.
No doubt. And, you know, you're competing against other people. You know, competing against people you know at practice is one thing because you know their skill set, you know their strengths and weaknesses. You know who you can beat and who you can't. So, you know, it's you know, live and in color versus an opponent that you're not familiar with. So you've got to give your all, and they're going to give their all, and it's a wholly different ball game. So, we love JV ball, and we coach it. You know, our varsity staff gets out there and coaches it just like we would on a Friday night. So it's an opportunity for us to get those guys ready to play next year.
All right. More to come on the Herons Coaches Show with the Bishop Media Sports Network. Right now, these words from our sponsors.
Fight songs, cheerleaders, whistles blowing, they're all part of the game. Unfortunately, so are injuries. I'm Dr. Denny Carter with Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery, reminding all athletes that if you hurt your elbow, break your hand or wrist, or even blow out a shoulder or knee, we can help. And we have the strength of Southeast Georgia Health System supporting us. Call 1-855-ASK-SGHS, that's 1-855-275-7447, or visit sghs.org.
Lusab Kia of Brunswick is a proud supporter of local athletics and your official high school football dealership. At Lusab Kia, we love Friday Night Lights just like you. Come check out our massive inventory, over 100 in-stock vehicles to choose from, as low as 1.9% APR on new vehicles.
Welcome back to the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with Head Coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Aaron Beck. This segment is brought to you by Summit Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery by Lo Saab, Kia of Brunswick. To stay a little bit on that same topic, Coach, with your underclassmen, how have you seen underclassmen that have adjusted to the speed of high school practice compared to middle school practice?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you think about your 6th, 7th, 8th grade. There's not a real big difference between, you know, the development in those age groups when it comes to athleticism and strength and all that. You may have one standout guy that's just bigger and stronger than everybody else. But, you know, when you come up in the 9th grade, and you're, you know, you're 13, 14 years old and you're competing against, you know, 17, 18 year olds, there's a big gap between the development physically, mentally, everything in those age groups. So it is an adjustment for most of them. You know, last year we ended up starting three, sometimes four freshmen on Friday nights. So they were baptized by fire early mm-hmm. on in their freshman season. But most kids aren't ready for that. Mm-hmm. We try to keep our freshmen down and playing JV ball as much as we can, develop them a little bit slower mm-hmm. and let them sort of gel with their classmates and maybe those sophomores. You know, talked a little while ago in the last segment about Talon Collins. He's a sophomore that's starting for us every game this year on both sides of the ball. We've got several of those guys, Clark Carter's another, Dennis Rawlerson, Kane Robertson, got several of those guys that have been contributors since their freshman year and are now, you know, steady starters, sort of veterans and sophomores. By the time they're seniors, they're going to feel like they're 30 years mm-hmm. old probably. You know, in this freshman class this year, we've got a couple of guys that, you know, have taken some varsity reps at practice. You know, Stephen Cook is a kid that I think is going to be a really good player for us mm-hmm. down the road. He's working right now at defensive end and tight end. Big-bodied guy that's pretty football savvy. Also, we've got a guy named Eric Lumbro, the way it's pronounced. He's a lineman too, O-line, D-line guy, but I think he's going to be a really good player for us. So there's a couple of guys that are ready to step in emergency situations, mm-hmm. get some plays on the playing time on Friday nights. But, you know, like I said, if we can prevent that from happening, we want to play our older guys on Friday night and save those young guys mm-hmm. you know, that fire for a little while.
Yeah, one thing I've always noticed is some parents will always ask the questions, well, why do you try and keep the young guys down? And what they don't realize is confidence is a big thing, especially in this age and this generation of kids.
Yep.
If they make a bad play, it's on social media. They feel like it's a hit to their confidence. So
absolutely. You can ruin a freshman just as quick playing them as you can not playing them. And mm-hmm. I think it happens more often, you know, in the latter when you try to play a kid too early. You know, out there with, like I said, 18-year-old guys, sometimes 19-year-olds, mm-hmm. and you know, they get a bad taste in their mouth in a contact sport like football.
Right.
You know, you really want to try to save them any embarrassment or physical injury. You know, we had a kid last year as a star freshman player that played all year for us at safety, and he ends up getting hurt in the ninth game of the year, you know, it affected his baseball season. Mm-hmm. So those are things you really don't want to see happen, but it's sort of out of your control. Mm-hmm. But if you can save a freshman from having to be out there, that's what you want to do. And like I said earlier, there's a few of them that are really ready for that kind of physical you know, abuse, but some are. And luckily we've got a few that are.
That's right. You're listening to the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show on the Bishop Media Sports Network. Next up, Coach, this week, big one. Pierce County coming to Caney Bay on Friday is a storied rivalry. It's a team that we've been playing for, I can't tell you how long, since longer than I've been alive, I'll say that. Have you seen, with a big rivalry coming into town, a difference in the energy level of practice? Have they had a little bit more zip in their step?
You know, honestly, Aaron, not so much. We've been up, you know, for the last couple of weeks. It seems pretty much sort of status quo in the way we prepared, came in mentally and physically. I think the kids have come back to work, you know, both weekends after the game and had a really good head on their shoulders about what we needed to do and how we needed to improve, correct the mistakes. Now, I'll say this, based on last year, you know, it felt the same. Wasn't much difference of practice. There was good energy. There was, you know, good attitude toward working toward it. But then, you know, when it came time to play, I didn't have to motivate them a whole lot.
That's right.
When it came to Pierce, they were ready. They were sort of foaming at the mouth, ready to get after it and try to win the ball game. So, same thing here. You know, I think this week it's not a lot of rah-rah. It's not a whole lot of me having to get them prepared mentally. I think this rivalry, you know, these guys live with it. You know, year in and year out, they've been playing these kids since they're in rec league. They know them. And, you know, it's a good heated rivalry. So mm-hmm. they're going to come ready to play. I don't have to do a lot of barking in the locker room pregame or halftime. They want to win this game as bad as any they play all year, and hopefully we'll go out there and put on a show.
I think part of that, Coach, with them being consistent at practice, I think that says something about your culture of your program. I think that means that you've got the kids focused on improving themselves and the next opponent's the next opponent.
Yeah, you know, and when you're 0-2 and going into a huge rivalry game, it can be a little bit more difficult. But like I said, they've had a business-like approach, you know, the last couple of weeks, and that's been the big thing, I think, since I got here, is just trying to improve the culture and get it to where, you know, the kids really buy in and want to have success in all walks of life, on and off the field. So, you know, it's starting to take hold, and hopefully it's only going to get better.
That's right. One thing I did want to touch about with you guys doing it last week, and then I know Pierce normally plays on a turf field at home. Are there any differences that you've noticed, at least as a coach or even as a player, with playing on turf compared to grass?
Yeah, you know, and coming up, cutting my teeth and coaching over in Alabama, a lot of schools went to turf, especially around the Birmingham Metro years and years ago. I prefer it, lack of maintenance mainly, but also the way a field dries and drains, you know, a turf field. Doesn't matter about the weather. Mm-hmm. You can play on it in any situation, no matter how much rain you get. Also, the way the turf gives versus the way grass and mud and dirt does, I think it prevents more injuries. You know, back in the day when you saw them on AstroTurf, mm-hmm. That stuff would grab a hold of your shoes and turf shoes and really cause more knee injuries than grass would. But now they've advanced this turf, you know, to the point where it's really artificial grass, but it's consistent. Mm-hmm. You don't stick your heel or your toe in the ground and have a different kind of give or break in the turf that you would on natural surface. So if it's a weather situation, you always want to be on turf. I love natural grass. I'll say that. I grew up on it. I played on it my whole life. I love the smell of it. I love the dirt and the grass stains, and it's real football to me. But when it comes down to it, I would definitely prefer turf over natural grass, mainly for the injuries and for the maintenance.
Got you. We'll be right back on the Herons Coaches Show with Head Coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network.
Touchdown Fridays are all about big plays, and at Marshland Credit Union, we're here to help you make yours. Cash for your first car or a loan for your forever home, we've got the game plan. Proud to back our hometown teams, because winning is better when we all do it together. Marshland Credit Union, local roots, big wins.
Cunningham Jewelers is a proud supporter of local athletics, and just like you, we enjoy Friday Night Lights. Whether it's natural talent or coaching created talent, they both win games. And whether it's Earth Mine Diamonds or Lab Mine Diamonds, they both look great in her ears or on her finger. Cunningham Jewelers in historic downtown Brunswick, 912-265-8652, or online, cunninghamjewelers.com.
Welcome back to the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with Head Coach David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Aaron Beck. This segment is brought to you by Cunningham Jewelers and by Marshland Credit Union. So, Coach, we're three games into the season, and one thing I've noticed is every game we've played has been super physical. And as the season goes on, football is that type of sport where physicality can take a toll on a kid's body. What do you do either at practice or just nutrition levels or things going throughout the week to help kids deal with that physical approach?
Yeah. So, you know, Charlton County was a very physical game, just the style of ball they play, a lot of single wing offense where it's just running right down the heel at you and hitting you in the mouth. And then, you know, Windsor Forest is a different kind of physicality. You know, spread it out all over the field, four wide, five wide, and had really good athletes. So change of direction and sprinting and all those kind of things plays a factor in the physicality of that game. Now you come to Pierce, and their Big Bear offense, where they're just running downhill, you know, full speed every play, probably be the most physical team we play all year. And then, you know, next week you got Vidalia, who's also a single wing, very physical offense. So it does take a toll on the kids' bodies, and we have to be very intentional about how we prepare them. Early in the week, we went out and we were physical at practice. We had some, you know, major tackling drills, you know, tried to hit some short yardage situations and things like that, where we were really trying to be physical and trying to have that carry over. As the week goes along, you sort of try to taper that off a little bit, make sure you keep, you know, their legs under them and keep them healthy for Friday night. I know Bill Foreman, our strength coach in D.C., I told him on Sunday, I wanted to make sure we were as fast and felt as strong and physical as we could Friday night. So we adjust our workouts a little bit in the weight room too, to make sure we get there. May back off a little bit more as the week goes along. So we've got a little bit better legs under us. Nutrition wise, you wish you could control that in 24 hours a day, but you can't. We feed them as much as we can, get as many calories in them as we can during the week. We preach against, caffeinated beverages and those things, make sure we drink a lot of juice and water and electrolytes, things like that. A kid has to control that himself at home. If they're not taking care of their body once they get home and they're not eating right, drinking right, and sleeping right, it's going to show when it comes Friday night. So we just have to say our prayers and hope they're doing their part, when they're not with us.
Oh, yeah. This is the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with David Shores on the Bishop Sports Media Network. One last thing I did want to touch on, and you sort of addressed some of it there with talking about nutrition and feeding the kids. We wouldn't be able to do half of this stuff if it wasn't for the sponsors. And I know, like, some of these kids, especially in a poverty-stricken area like Brantley County can be at times, there are some kids that come to our school just to be able to eat.
Absolutely.
Okay? Yep. Who are some of those sponsors that have made this whole process possible?
Well, we've got a lot of them this year and a lot of new ones. I want to shout out one sponsor that just came on board the past week, Archer Forest Products here in Nahanna. Really stepped to the plate and is a major donor for us. So proud to have them on board. There's a laundry list of these sponsors, and we've got them on the field, got them on the fences, we try to promote them on social media as much as possible. But without those folks that are willing to get behind our program and help take care of these kids, it wouldn't be possible. We feed them just on game day. You think about it, you feed them breakfast, they got lunch in school, and you got a pregame meal the churches, local churches provide. Then also, we got a postgame meal we feed them afterwards that always comes out of the Boosh Club, and that's from these sponsors that donate money. So, it's major for us. Nutrition is a big deal here. It's a big deal everywhere now, but especially Brantley County, where some of these kids go home and there's not a whole lot in the refrigerator. We got to make sure that we get as much into them as we can nutrition-wise.
So I guess one thing that we can lead into with our fans, Coach, is one thing our fans can do to help support is go out and spend some money at these sponsors. These sponsors are pouring into our kids.
Yep.
So anything that they can do with those sponsors is going to be a big deal, because obviously the more fans we get to spend money with these sponsors, the more likely those sponsors are willing to give back to our program.
No doubt. Shop local, take care of these people that take care of us. It wouldn't be possible without them.
That's right. And then we'll have one last question, Coach. Our fans this week,
yep.
Home game, our last home game had a really electric atmosphere. We touched on it two shows ago. If you wanted to give a message to the fans for this upcoming week, what would that message be?
Yeah, show up and show out, make as much noise as possible. I expect a big crowd, Pierce County. We had a great following over there last year at Blackshear, and I expect everybody to show up this Friday night, pushing the Herons on to a win. Cheerleaders going to be there. Band's going to be there. I think the weather's going to be fantastic. It's about starting to feel like football weather now.
That's right.
So it's going to be a beautiful night in Caney Bay, and you got a couple of good football teams going at it in there.
That's right.
It's going to be physical. It's going to be some pads popping, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would like to challenge our fans. We know their fans are going to be loud. Yep. We know they're going to be having their chance, doing it, whatever. I think our fans need to take that as a challenge and make sure we should outnumber them. We should be louder than them.
Get up out of your seat, man.
That's right.
Make some noise. That's what the kids thrive off of, and we need it.
That's right. That's going to do it for us this week. So thank you for joining us on the Brantley County Herons Coaches Show with David Shores on the Bishop Media Sports Network. I'm Aaron Beck, signing off.